God desires a relationship with us, and he desires our worship. But what exactly does that mean? How can we truly worship God? And what does that look like in our everyday lives? Find out from author and speaker, Jacqueline Palmer. Here's Jacqueline.
When we gather around the word behold and try to grab the concept of behold, my prayer is that that focus on the word behold and what we're getting ready to start for the next 2 weeks will not be time bound. You ever do a Bible study and that Bible study comes to an end and you're like, oh, that was a good Bible study, and then you forget everything that you learned in that Bible study? Truth be told, like, I think I did a study on Revelation once and I can't explain anything. We do these studies and the studies end and we go on to our next study. When we focus on the word behold, and when we go into what we're going to do this next 2 weeks, will you purpose to not make that time bound? Because to behold and to create is not something we do on a time bound moment. It's what we do with the Lord our God until we meet the Lord our God face to face. It's something that we will never fully attain. And that's what's overwhelming. We can behold every heartbeat of our life and we will never attain all there is to behold. So to be able to figure out, how am I going to behold the surroundings in which I live in a 2 week time period? The answer is you're not going to. Make it part of your very existence with the very God who created you. Sound good? Don't ever stop beholding. So we are going to take our word behold and go into the next word. Our next word for the next 2 weeks is the word create. We get to go into the word create. For the one who just said within their soul, I hate crafts, you're okay. This is not a craft. Take a breath. We come as women inseparable, as we are, where we are. We are going to create. That's our goal the next 2 weeks. A word that we're going to focus on as we do the word create is the word inheritance. The word inheritance. I'm so curious what thought just went through our head when you hear the word inheritance. It could go in so many different ways, couldn't it? Tangible, emotional. I never got an inheritance. Oh, I got a lot of inheritance. Let me think about what to do with my inheritance. We could go all over the place with inheritance. We're going to go in the New Testament with inheritance. We're going to go within the throne room of God, you and your God, and we're going to talk about the word create. Sound good? We're going to worship. We're going to fall in love with the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. As we do that, will you join me in 1 Peter? We get to be in 1 Peter. There are 25 verses in this chapter. We possibly will do the entire chapter today. I know. Let's see what happens. There's doubt. There are people doubting in this room. There's no way we're going to get through a whole chapter. Let's see what happens. 1 Peter chapter 1. As we look through the book or through the chapter that Peter pens for you, will you behold? Behold the clear difference that Peter lays out of earth and the clear difference Peter lays out in eternity. We are going to behold through the eyes of eternity what your life looks like. And then we're going to behold the word inheritance. Those are our two focus. As we go through 1 Peter with our Bible open, will you join me before the throne of our God? Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we've got the letter that Peter penned so many years ago, laying open on our laps. Father God, we desire to behold what it was that you put on Peter's heart for us to see right now. Just that concept is so cool. It's amazing that you gave Peter the words that you have for me, for today, here in 2024, for what I need, for what we need to be able to behold what it is that you have for us. That is so, so cool. I pray that you'll help us to behold, help us to truly see your word through the eyes of eternity. Help us to see what we have, what our life looks like today, and what it looks like every heartbeat that we have, and what it looks like in all of eternity. For it is you, Father God, and who we get to live with. Oh, we get to dwell with you today and tomorrow and for always. Help us to behold. And Father God, I pray that you will start even right now working within us what it is that you would have us create. Oh, Father God, you are our creator. We are your creation. Help us to create what it is that you have laid out for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start in verse number 3. Every letter, when you go through the New Testament, will give an introduction as to who wrote the book, who it's written to, and then it'll go on to most always a blessed statement toward God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This book was written by Peter. If you want to do a study on Peter, you can look into the book of Matthew and of Mark and of Luke and of John and 1 and 2 Peter. Peter is an amazing man. Peter is beside you in who you behold. Isn't that amazing? Verse number 3. I was going to keep talking about Peter, but let's do a study on the Lord instead. Sound good? 1 Peter, verse 3. Here's what he says. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, in my ESV, I have an exclamation mark. Do you have an exclamation mark in your version? I don't know what version you're using, but Peter is speaking with passion. He is speaking with boldness. He is speaking with reverence. He is speaking with awe. He is speaking as if he is beholding the very one that he got to live with for 3 years. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." May we always pause and join him in this blessing to your God. Peter goes on and says, according to his great mercy. So we're talking about God. We're talking about the Father. According to God the Father's great mercy, God the Father has caused us to be born again to a living hope. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, it is undefiled, it is unfading, it is kept in heaven for you. And do you see how these words go on and on and on? And you're like, I can't handle one more word. I need to stop and start over. Do you ever do that when you read scripture? You're like, there is so much treasure in every single word, and I'm supposed to read this whole chapter in a half hour? Let's see how far we get. I'm going to start again in verse number 3. As I read again in verse number 3, will you pay attention to words that indicate life and words that indicate living? Look at what Peter is saying to us. Look at the words that indicate life, and look at words that indicate living. Look at what Peter is saying. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Do you see the beginning of life? Do you see the beginning of living? Do you see that that's you? I don't know who needs to hear this right now, but do you understand that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and he rose again, that moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are alive. I don't know what your day looks like. Is that fair? I don't know what your relationships look like. I don't know what your health is feeling like. I don't know what things are looking like for you, but I do know this. You who can look upon God the Father and say, blessed be you, for you are my God. You are alive. You are alive. I wonder what would happen in the presence of your day, in the presence of your relationships, in the presence of your ongoing health, in the presence of whatever it is that is so overwhelming your heart and your mind and your soul. I wonder what would happen if you proclaim this truth. I am alive. Proclaim it out loud. You say, I don't have the strength to get the voice out of my mouth, then just whisper it. Get it in your heart, get it in your mind, get it in your soul. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. And when you start doubting the fact that you are alive and you start wondering, why am I alive? What am I saying? Proclaim the name of Jesus, because it's because of the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. You are alive. Proclaim, I am alive. I'm telling you, every psychologist out there will tell you, what you say from your mouth, your ears will believe, and it'll change the words that come from your mouth. You are alive. Say that. Say that until you can't stop saying it ever again. You are alive. Look at what Peter says. According to the great mercy of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He, our God, has caused you to be born again to a what? A living hope. We don't hope for a good day. We don't hope that we get a visitor come to our door. We don't hope for a magic envelope in our mailbox. We don't hope for the mundane. We don't hope for something tangible. We are hoping for the life and the living that is called Jesus Christ, without wavering. Without wavering. That is the confession of our hope. We are brought to life to live for a living hope. Do you see how alive you are? You are alive. He has caused us. He has caused you to be born again to a living hope through the what? Through the resurrection of who? Do you see the words in these few short verses that talk about life and talk about living? You are alive because Jesus is alive. If our precious Savior died on the cross for our sins would be forgiven. And that would be as amazing as it is. But our Jesus would be dead. The story doesn't end there. We know the story doesn't end there. Our Jesus took our sins, separated us completely from our sin. He separated us completely from our sin. Do you know that? He separated you completely from your sin, and He buried it in a different time zone, in a different country, in a different soil. And He said, you can't even reach it. You can't time travel. You can't dig in the dirt deep enough. It's over. It's gone. It's done. Stop crawling in the mud to try to get to your past sin. You'll see that later in this verse in Peter's words. Your sin is so far, it's so far away from you. And Jesus says, and now that I've taken it so far away from you so that you can't even attain it, can't even think about it, can't even look upon it, oh, here, I'm alive. And because I'm alive, because of my resurrection, you are alive. Oh, hold on to that. Here's what Peter says. Here's what Peter says to you. More importantly, get Peter out of the way. This is what God is saying to you, because Peter concludes his chapter 1 by saying there is not one prophecy, not one word in this book that was not inspired by who? God. God is always the author. You are always the listener. So we want to look at the human author, and we want to know their perspective and where they are coming from and what God taught them. But ultimately, in every passage, God is the author. You are the listener. What is God saying to you? He's saying to you, you're alive. You're alive with a living hope because of the resurrection of the one who is alive. And the one who is alive, his name is Jesus. And you've placed your faith in Jesus. Therefore, you are alive. Verse 4, it says, you are brought to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You are brought from the dead, which means the dead is behind you. You have to turn completely around to what you're brought to. You're brought from the dead, and you're brought to an inheritance. You are brought to an inheritance. And there are so many sets of three in this whole chapter. That could be a personal challenge between you and God throughout this week. But there's sets of three just constantly throughout this chapter, which if you look at the life of Peter and Jesus have conversations in sets of three. Again, personal challenge between you and your God as you study scripture and study the life of Peter. But he says that inheritance that you have been given through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is three things. It's imperishable. Will you pause and think about that life? It's imperishable. Scripture says It's undefiled. Woman, can you think about that for a moment? You are born again, living a life in the living hope of the living Savior, and you are given an inheritance that is undefiled. There are so many memories, so many earthly statements that could be said on here's what life looks like. Here's what past looks like. Here's what relationships look like. Here's what my heart looks like. And Jesus says, you are raised again and you've got an inheritance waiting for you that is undefiled. Can you imagine a life, living a life that cannot be defiled? Some of you girls know my story. Remember when I met my man, we were engaged, and it hit me. It hit me, I can't lie to this boy anymore. I need to tell this boy the truth. And when I tell the boy this truth, he's gonna want nothing to do with me. And I remember sitting in a backyard and telling my husband my truth. And I told him that I'm defiled. And he just looks at me in the eye. He just smiles, and his words, and his eyes, and his love, and he could care less what happened to me as a child. The lies in my head said what happened to me as a child made me and my life and my existence defiled. And my husband was such an image of teaching me what this looks like. It doesn't matter if you had a moment of being defiled. It doesn't matter if you had a moment of being defiled. In Jesus, you are alive. In Jesus, it is undefiled. And I sit there and I think, I got a taste of that when I married my husband. Of what life could be like living in an existence where there is undefiled love, an undefiled home, an undefiled marriage. I get a taste of that. Jesus says, you have an inheritance that is undefiled. What does that do to your girl heart? Is that overwhelming? We get to live in an existence for always without ever questioning, ever struggling, ever doubting, ever living ever again in the realm of something that cannot ever be defiled. That overwhelms my little girl heart. That is your inheritance. Scripture says that it's imperishable, it is undefiled, and it's unfading. Curious what images just went on in our heads when you hear the words unfading, something that cannot be faded. And I know we have various scriptures and we've got various words that are not various scriptures. We have one scripture. We have various versions of the one scripture. And I'm curious what words are triggering images in our head of what is unfading. We could look at the earth has multiple examples of things that fade away. I just changed out a wallpaper. That thing was fading away. Like it used to be vibrant. It doesn't look vibrant anymore. Things fade. Things fade. You look at anything. Go sit outside for a little while. Observe the things that fade. Scripture says that outside this realm of earth, we get to go to a realm in heaven. We get an inheritance that is unfading. I want to know, I would love to know what images are going on inside of our hearts, inside of our heads when we think about the word unfading. Is it almost something that we can't even comprehend? Because everything that we know, everything that we touch fades away. And he says, it's everything opposite. Everything that you think of with the word that something's unfading, he says, it's opposite. This is your inheritance. This is your inheritance. Isn't that amazing? This is yours. It's literally sitting before you. This is your inheritance. All because you put your faith in Jesus. Not because you performed. Not because you quit doing things or started doing things. Not because you changed your marriage and changed your clothes and changed your eating and sat up straight and smiled all the time. Not because you did anything, but because you said, Jesus, you rose again for me. Jesus, you paid the cost for my sin. I love you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising again. Thank you for being my God. Just because you said that with your heart and with your mouth, this is your truth. This is your inheritance. Is that overwhelming at all? That's your inheritance. This is yours. This is yours. Here's what Scripture says. He says, these three things are kept in heaven for who? You. Your inheritance. You don't need to wait. You don't need to wait for a human to die for you to get an inheritance in Christ. Your inheritance isn't based on death. Do you see this other implication about life and living? Your inheritance is based on life. You don't have to wait to receive a tangible inheritance because somebody dies and go through all the emotions that come with all of that. You get to just think about it. You get to just dream about it. You get to just dwell upon it. You just get to be like, this is mine. This is mine. I'm already inheriting it. Present tense, this is already falling upon me. And when I get to heaven, I get to see the whole inheritance. This is overwhelming. This is so big. This is imperishable. It is undefiled. It is unfading. And it's mine. And it's kept in heaven for me. It's kept in heaven for me. And then Scripture says something about you. Do you know what Scripture says about you? In verse 5, it says, your inheritance is kept in heaven for you. You who? By God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, I pray that verse settles in your heart this week. The very power of God, the very power of God is guarding you. Do you need to hear that truth? Do you need to write down that truth? I am guarded by the power of God. Do you see our circle that we drew weeks ago yet again? It's overwhelming how much God has taken care of you, isn't it? Scripture continues, this is your truth. I pray that you will see this truth, visually see this truth as I read Scripture here. This is you. Scripture says, in this, and all this truth about your inheritance, in this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Take the breath that you need to take. You have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, not that little faith that sees the earth, but faith that believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that the tested genuineness of your faith that is more precious than gold. Do you see your identity? Your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. That your faith that is so precious in the eyes of God, may be found to result in praise, that may be found to result in glory, that may be found to result in honor at the very revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you see your inheritance? This is your story. These are your words. This is your truth. And not because of what you do, but because who you love with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. This is you. And if you need a Scripture memory goal, here's your Scripture memory goal. I need this truth, and I need this truth so badly. And I need to hold to the confession of that hope, and I need to hold it without wavering. How am I going to do that? How am I not going to slip back into my little faith and stay focused on the faith of the very one who has given his whole life for me? How am I going to do this? I'm going to hold on to this truth that Peter has given to me today. I have an inheritance because I am the daughter of God. Do you know your inheritance? Oh, I pray that you do. Scripture continues in verse number 8. It says, though you have not seen him, this is your truth, right? This is our truth. Though you have not seen him, and if we could put in the word I so that we could read this individually and so intimately, though I have not seen him, and I pray you read it exactly that same way. Though I have not seen him, I love him. Oh, there's power when you pen Scripture. It's written for us. But when we can take these words and write it in our own handwriting, perhaps this verse is what we write this week. Though I have not seen Jesus. I love Jesus. Though I do not now see Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and I rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. That word is so passionate. And I rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, I am obtaining the outcome of my faith. Then the outcome of my faith is the very salvation of my soul. Do you need that truth? May that truth be your sword that you hold on to. I may not see Jesus, but I'm going to focus on seeing Jesus and not focus on what's going on earth, because what's going on earth is not so great. So I'm going to ignore this little faith that I'm really wanting to waver with, and I'm going to focus on my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to hold fast to this faith. I don't know him, have not seen him, but I love him and I believe in him, and I'm going to obtain the outcome of my faith, which is the very salvation of my soul that I get to experience today and for all of eternity, the end. And then I'm going to repeat that. And then I'm going to repeat it again. And I'm going to repeat it again until my head and my heart and my soul just drip it everywhere I go. That is who you are. This is what Peter has given to us today. Do you not love Scripture? Scripture continues. Concerning this salvation, I love how, like, it's like, okay, now that you've got that figured out, let's keep going. You're like, no, hold on, I got to figure this out some more. Concerning this salvation, the salvation that happens today and continues for all of eternity, concerning this salvation, the prophets, remember those prophets we were talking about that we're beholding, the ones that have gone before us, the ones that have lived their life in love with their God, the ones that are standing beside us, these prophets, this is what Peter says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be whose? Yours, about the grace that was to be yours, these prophets searched and inquired carefully. They inquired what time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating to them when the suffering of Christ was going to occur and when the subsequent glories of Christ, when they were going to happen. The prophets were given prophecies about what was happening in your life today, and they wanted to know, when is this going to happen? And Scripture says that it was revealed to them, revealed to the prophets, that they were not serving themselves. The truths that the Holy Spirit was putting on Ezekiel for Scripture for us to read were not for Ezekiel. The Spirit told him that. Ezekiel, what I'm having you write is not for you. Isaiah, what I'm having you write is not for you. Jeremiah, what I'm having you write is not for you. Hosea, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Haggai, go through all your prophets. What I'm having you, the Holy Spirit says, what I'm having you write about when Jesus is coming and when the Holy Spirit is coming and when Jesus is coming again, it has nothing to do with you, prophets. And they're like, oh, but it's so big. Who is it for? The Holy Spirit revealed to the prophets that it was for you. Can you wrap your head around that? We look at those prophets, and we love those prophets, and we say, I just wish I knew what the prophets knew. I just wish I had what the prophets had. And the prophets are like, are you kidding me? You don't want what I had. Because what I had was just a thought and an image and a promise that you are going to have what you have. The prophet says, you have so much more than I ever had. I had the knowledge of what you are going to have. You get to live it. What is it? The Holy Spirit of God living in you. You get to taste your inheritance today. How do you move after that? You read more Scripture, and you get overwhelmed even more. Listen to what Scripture says. It says the prophets, let me go to verse 12. It was revealed to them, to the prophets, that they were serving not themselves, but you. And the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news, and we know the good news is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to you by the Holy Spirit who is sent from heaven, and listen to this, listen to your statement, your truth. These are things in which the angels long to look. Do you know you have prophets surrounding you in a great cloud of witnesses saying, we get to witness from eternity. We get to witness what we got to prophesy when we were living in the dust, when we were made of soil, when we were walking in our flesh and dealing with, have you ever seen the heartache that Jeremiah had to go through? Jeremiah had to go through such heartache. And Jeremiah is now in our cloud of witnesses and saying, do you understand? Do you understand who you are? What I had to suffer through in the dust, in the soil, you get to embrace and wake up and go to sleep and live in this power, in this power. And he's in your cloud of witnesses saying, oh, I get to watch. I get to literally see what Rena and what Pat and what Patsy get to live like. I get to watch you. And he sits there and he goes, wow. That's what it looks like. Oh, I've wanted to see. Oh, I wanted to know what it felt like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what that looks like. Oh, and she's doing it. And the angels, the very created of God, are sitting there in heaven. And I just picture them like just peeking over and going, wow, wow. Oh, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, to all your soul, all your mind. The prophets are saying she's doing it. And the angels are saying, look at how that works. We never knew. We never knew how that worked, and we always wanted to know how that works, and oh, that's how it works. And the very power of God is surrounding you. Do you see what your heartbeat looks like? Every heartbeat. We're doing this live on a Thursday in April in the year 2024. Do you know this truth happened to somebody? Let's call him Patrick in the year 1100. Imagine there had to have been somebody named Patrick in the year 1100. I don't know. I don't have a story about a guy named Patrick. But here's the truth. This man, let's call him Patrick, who is alive in the year 1100, this truth was spoken to him. And he loved the Lord his God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind. You can think of another name, think of another year. The truth is the same. This person, whoever that person is, through year 35 and 70 and 75 and 90, do you see what I'm saying? Throughout the eternity since Jesus rose again to our year here in 2024, men and women, boys and girls have read this scripture and have been overcome with who they are, filled with the Holy Spirit, simply loving the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind. Every single one of them stayed so focused on living for God and claiming their inheritance. And do you know where every one of them are today? Does that just overwhelm your soul? They are living in heaven, in their inheritance, and they are in the circle of great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding you, and they're saying, we did it. We went before. We worshiped our God. We loved our God. We knew who we were. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. You've got this. You've got this. Fall in love. This is what we get to behold. We get to behold a reality that was lived by multiple people and that will continue to be lived by multiple people until Jesus Christ comes again, because that is our living hope. This is scripture. This is your truth. This is who you are. Look at, there's more. There's the word, therefore. There's the word, therefore. Now, we are looking at the word create. We're looking at the word create these next 2 weeks in Women Inseparable as we study the word worship, when we're talking about you and we're talking about your God. My prayer is that you had a visual of some kind popping up in your head and your heart and your soul while we read the first chunk of 1 Peter 1. Therefore, prepare your minds. Do you see what Peter is saying to us? Therefore, because of what you have, because of who you are, because of the very God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, prepare your minds for action. It's a good statement. Prepare your minds for action, knowing who you are, knowing that the Holy Spirit is calling us to love the Lord, love the Lord, love the Lord, love the Lord constantly, every heartbeat, every situation, every minute. Love, love, love. Therefore, prepare your mind. It always starts with your mind. Will you, in this next week, when you are with the Lord, talk with the Lord throughout every day this week, throughout every heartbeat this week? Lord, will you help me? Will you give me what I need to set before my eyes on what my inheritance looks like? Have you ever noticed when something's not in front of you, you forget about it? You ever heard the phrase, out of sight, out of... We have an inheritance that is undefiled. It's unfading. It's imperishable. And sometimes we forget about it. You know, that wavering issue. Is there something, and I pray that something is sitting upon you that throughout this week, pray about it. Don't rush into it. Just this week, your goal is to pray about it. In your homework page, you'll see a blank page with little thought ideas. Use that page or get a poster board or use a whole wall in your house and create an image, whether it's, I'm going to make a bracelet, I'm going to get a prayer journal, I'm going to write scriptures that talk about inheritance. There's a few of them. These are just the chapters, not the verses detailed in there. There's 27 chapters in the New Testament that talk about the word inheritance. What can you do to create a visual in front of you that will be a constant reminder, I have an inheritance that will never fade away? May we create it as you are, where you are. No timeline, no pressure, no obligation, no rules, no expectations, no show and tell. Unless you want to do a show and tell, how fun would that be? Here's what my inheritance, create what the Lord has you to create. But I do highly encourage each and every one of us, create something. There will be a constant reminder, this is my inheritance. This is what God has ready for me. Heavenly Father, oh, we did good in 1 Peter 1. We got halfway. I pray that I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll allow us time with you as we finish reading through the first chapter of 1 Peter and even the whole letters that Peter wrote, the two of them that Peter wrote for us. There is so much in this chapter that opens up our eyes to what you are keeping in heaven for us. You are keeping so much for us. Even right now, John 14 is flooding my soul, and that's not even on my paper. Lord God, you're building a kingdom for us that we get to experience and taste and live in today, and that we get to behold fully, fully in eternity, all because of our faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord God, if there is a girl that's listening today that is hearing about Jesus for the first time, I pray, Father God, that with her mouth and with her heart she'll proclaim that Jesus is Lord. That with her mouth and with her heart, she will say out loud, Father, I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I know that Jesus was buried, and I know and I believe that Jesus rose again. Oh, Jesus, I pray that you'll be her Savior today. Father God, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the gift of our inheritance. Set our eyes and help us to behold. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Help us to spread the love of Jesus by subscribing, giving us a thumbs up, and writing a comment. For more Women Inseparable studies, check out our website at womeninseparable.com. Send your questions and prayer requests to womeninseparable@gmail.com.